Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to our next call in the Yin Yang Chao Mo Meridians, which is transforming sadness and overexcitement into harmony. I was actually in a seminar this past weekend, and they said it was in body namics, very similar in wording, not quite the same as body talk, but I have to think about it every time I say it. And body namics, in case you're wondering, is somatic developmental psychotherapy. So we go into literally each and every time you developed access between your brain and a particular muscle or a pattern of musculature to be able to pinpoint what sort of challenges that may have caused and how that plays out in terms of how regulated your nervous system is, how well you can orient, how well you can be present, how well you can do life. And we work with all of the underpinnings of that. And they were saying, they said this, that the difference between overexcitement, pardon me, the difference between excitement and fear is breathing. So depending upon how we breathe, literally will transform one into the other, which I think is fascinating. It's also the only institution that I found that incorporates breath and trauma into their ideological understandings, and they convey that so succinctly. So it's totally my jam, and I'm geeking out on it. So thanks for letting me share a little droplets. You'll probably hear, you know, a few little bits here and there as we traverse in the next coming weeks and months all this beautiful terrain. And I'd love to just start off by saying happy International Women's Day, as well as happy full moon. That was, I think, yesterday, though. And all sorts of astrological weather. Saturn, I know, has done some big shifting, and Pisces is, got a lot going on right now with that Saturn energy coming into it. So as we settle in, knowing that there's all sorts of interesting patterns that we're in the midst of seeing, I'm going to invite you to find a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can still sit or lay and be undisturbed, no matter what else seems to be going on around you. And I'll do the same. And as we settle in here together, I'm going to invite you to begin by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that feels pleasant and neutral, taking a moment to savor that and to drink that in. And I invite you to scan either your outward environment with eyes open, or your inward environment, eyes can be open or closed. And as you scan, the invitation is to land on anything in particular that you find that's pleasant, good, perhaps just neutral. And wherever you land, finding that thing, notice what it is you like the most about this thing in this moment. And as you notice that, invitation to drink that in, to savor that, and to receive it like the nourishment that it very well may be. You let yourself bask and steep in that energy. Notice how the body seems to respond to that. As you notice that, if any part of that is pleasant to neutral, again, taking time to savor that and to receive it. And as you drink all of this juicy, good stuff on in, I'll offer these words. Thank you so much for being here and for being you right here, just as you are. Thank you so much to all that's brought you here, to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, to all of those that have come before us, that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, the deepest of gratitudes, we give thanks. And thank you to all that supported you, all the villages, so to speak. Whether that's physical or metaphorical, and however it shows up in the form of people or other resources, perhaps the one that you just noticed. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. As we settle in to today's session, we're actually starting off with lymphatic circulation through all things heart, which is that processing center for that sadness, as well as overexcitement, basically anything that's not in the land of harmony. And as we support that in processing sadness, which is meant to give rise to harmony as much as all the other forms of joy are. Maybe they show up in disguise, potentially in overexcitement, nostalgia, etc. And as we run lymphatic circulation through all of that, you can think of that in a way as like fine-tuning the engine of the heart. And this is just a personal sensibility. My sense is that when the heart is present to both the elements of sadness and joy, as it, well, always is. And it has the capacity to use that almost like a battery, so to speak. And as it's meant to bring in energy and to energize the heart, to energize everywhere that the heart supports that energy and flowing through your blood vessels, through to all of your cells, your bones, your muscles, your organs, your endocrines, to all of you. It continues to re-energize its own self. So in essence, as the heart provides, it also gets to energize itself. It replenishes itself even in the act of doing, which is fairly unique. I'm not sure how many times we've felt physically replenished from doing something. Usually that has the opposite effect. So we can turn to the heart for its capacity to tune into that very specific type of wisdom. And as we run lymphatic circulation here, essentially cleaning out any fogginess that gets in the way of that wisdom, any occlusions or obscurities, or anything that's making it almost like too hard to see underneath the surface of the water all the way down with clarity. And as we run lymphatic circulation through here, we're going to simultaneously dial down the energy of Neptune. And as we dial that down, it actually makes it just a little bit easier to get a bit clearer on things. And we're going to link all things heart now through to the Yin Chow Mo meridian. And here we're running the permissions that it's safe to express this body of yours, including your heart. It's safe to express this body of yours. It's safe to be in this body and to bring its expression to its fullest. As I say that, I actually see the right side go like, whoop, no, it's not, and it contracts. And here we're finding that, I'm going to call it false joy. It could be in the form of overexcitement, nostalgia. Those are always my common examples. Anytime that there's joy tinged with fear, in essence. And as we work with that, we're also unhooking the emotion of shame. It's like there's this shame around getting to just fully experience joy. And it's connected to religious sort of sentiments, ideas, beliefs passed down through the family lines. And we're going back a fair ways. And I'm seeing a bunch of numbers. So for some of you, it'll be 10 generations, for some, 12, for some, 14, for some, 17, for some, 18. I don't usually get quite a spread like that, but in this case, we have just that showing up. And as we work with that, going back through these generations and releasing that sense of where the shame started. Now, there's different types of shame. I forget who's behind this concept, but I can look it up for you and figure it out again next week. It's been a while since I've spoken to this. But there's the red shame and there's white shame. And there's the red shame is the shame where we still have blood flowing, hence its name, and it doesn't like choke us off or anything, but we get just ashamed of our actions, which is actually a good thing because it allows us to learn and to grow and then to be able to enter life in a more graceful, easeful way. The white shame is the shame where we shut down, we isolate, it becomes a traumatic response. And that can devolve, or if it numbs out too much, to the point of shamelessness. And this is where that blood stops flowing, that white shame, in which there isn't the same sort of capacity for the blood, the heart, to process it. So as we work with this all, it makes sense why we wrote the heart earlier. We're working with the red shame that started off in those generations ago, 10 to 18. And in this generation, it's showing up perhaps more so somewhere between red and white, or potentially all the way into that white shame, where it's become numbed, isolated, and almost like cold and kind of dead-like. And it's stored in that right hip and the right jaw. As we work with essentially the TMJ and the sacroiliac, the SI joints. We're going to bring in circulation of all the healing resources here, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, and lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower that depression, and help that nervous and immune system alike to heal along with most of your body. There we go. And then also circulating here the endorphins, hormones, and I didn't already name those, the yin and the yang, the feminine and the masculine. And as we circulate those, bringing in Venus, I see her like literally carrying a bouquet of flowers, of herbs, and like the flowering herbs specifically that heal. And we're also bringing in the planetary energy of the moon along with Saturn. Okay, so we've got a bunch of players showing up here. And I mean that in a good way. As the moon shows up, bringing in its capacity to soothe and to have the short cycles be, in essence, and what I mean by short cycles is the conflicts that we experience that aren't necessarily like big and broad and long lasting, but are maybe in the moment, or maybe even just last a few hours, maybe even a few days. Maybe even a few weeks, but not generally speaking longer than that. And as we work with those short cycles, bringing in maternal affection to help give the sense of you don't have to face this alone. So the moon is bringing in maternal company, what it means to be mothered as you walk in the day-to-day, week-to-week, potentially conflicts in life. Bringing in that essence of nourishment. And then also a nod to the other one that I haven't mentioned yet, which is Saturn. Saturn is very realistic. It likes timelines. It likes to have things structured. Perhaps even a sense of limitation arises. And we can think of it in this way as giving a sense of focus, to be able to continue to traverse all that you're dealing with in the day to day, the week to week, but giving a new focus, one that doesn't have to involve just trudging it out and going through it again, because that's just what happens when it's this time, this year, this month, this week, this day. All the sort of rhetoric that we have and the ways that we validate our experiences, our challenges. And as we bring in those three planets of Venus, of Moon, and of Saturn, we're going to also link them through to the Yin Mo Meridian, pardon me, the Yin Chao Mo Meridian. And as we bring it into the Yin Chao Mo, looking very specifically at the Yin Chao Mo's connection to, well, how it connects us, I should say, to the part of us that drops inward to self-reflect. I'm bringing in some focus, nourishment, and clarity alike into your capacity to land back in that internal inquiry. The self-reflection, the internal process, the inner work, as it's often referred to. Although I don't love the word work there, I think of it more as a joyful play. But it can be work if that's how it shows up for you. Nothing wrong with that. And that's linking all now into house six, house of practical action, house of being in service to our bodies, our minds, to our health. And here we need to bring the planetary energy of the sun for its capacity to restore things back to their fullest expression, their capacity to nourish new growth, and also the capacity to express. And as we bring this in, it's actually going into the form of embodied expression, so being able to be in here. And allow all of you to express as fully as it's available. Beautiful. At the same time as all of that, we're running lymphatic circulation again, draining those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, and overanalyzing through the entire Yin Chao Mo Meridian. Okay, interesting. And as we bring in lymphatic circulation through this entire pattern, we're looking at a tendency to anxiously anticipate the needs of others in favor of your own, along with doing that in order to protect yourself from having to suffer any consequences, to be looked down upon, to potentially even be accused of doing something wrong. And it's got this energy almost of like paralyzing type of energy. It's like paralysis by analysis. So it's this idea of being stuck and trying to figure out how to get out of this pattern. And trying to figure it out actually is just deepening the roots of it all. It's like digging your own hole just a little bit deeper. So in those times, maybe you can connect to that understanding a little bit from maybe this stage of life or earlier, whenever you may have danced with this pattern. Or maybe it's been all the way throughout life, this pattern of needing to anticipate others. And as we look at that, in essence, it's like leaving our bodies. It's a form of disassociation. So it's actually the opposite of embodiment. It's going out there to figure out what you should do and how you should feel and how you should be versus letting that be driven from within. And that pattern usually stems from early childhood. Usually that stems from experiences of, well, many folds. One example could be, for instance, getting the silent treatment or getting communication that wasn't clear or shut down, or, like I said, the silent treatment, altogether absence. So, as we work with all those ways of navigating those challenges in life, which were really quite clever and wise of your little one to figure out how to make it through that all and still stay in connection. It came at the cost, however, of a loss of dignity from within that the heart seems to be bearing mostly. So as we address this pattern, we're working very specifically with the conscious restoration of dignity. In essence, what do I need? What matters to me? And how can I honor myself? And how can I express to others how I will be honored most? And as soon as I said that last one, there's this sadness and fear all wrapped up together just to the right of the heart, and it's going up to the jaw and down to the sacroiliac joints. Like that would be a dangerous thing to do. So as we work with this entire pattern and all that goes with it, running a Sidri that's going to continue for quite a ways actually, for the next 17 days. And technically next week we have off, so maybe that's why this is going a little bit longer. And the week after that, I should mention there's daylight savings time changes this weekend, so just double check. If you are in an area where it doesn't, you don't change time, like myself in Saskatchewan, and we're based on mountain time in this series, just take a peek at mountain time and what mountain time actually is for you in your area again. So, but as I come back to this, 17 days of a Sidri. This Sidri, as it runs, alongside of it, we're going to run diaphragm to intestines. Taking out all that clutter that's here in the center of emotional processing that likes to sometimes hold on and cling just a little bit too long. And sometimes it's hanging on because it needs to have something integrated that hasn't been quite moved through the system. And we're linking that all to intestines when it's ready to go in its own timing, clearing out all the toxins, gunk, waste. As the intestines do in their own way, letting go of all the stuff you just don't need to hang on to anymore. And that's for this Sidri that starts with C, circulation of all those same healing resources that I named earlier, along with D for defrag. Much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's. Reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Perhaps thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as we work with this, simultaneously running that diaphragm to intestines, and then we're going to link it all through to the crown chakra for its role in transcendence, and then down to the base chakra to ground, to root, to embody it, to be able to live it. Then linking that into the enteric nervous system to further support that capacity to move through it in a way that becomes virtually an instinct. To honor yourself first, to honor your own dignity first, to be able to have both connection with others and dignity here within yourself. And alongside of that, releasing, excuse me, I believe that we touched it on this a little bit last time as well. We're working with a release of rejection. This is actually like the bigger rejections in life. Or the ones that landed with a sense of bigness to them. And as we work with the perceived bigger rejections in life, Those are releasing from the jaw as well as the eyes. And from here, within the eyes and the jaw alike, there is a sense of feeling powerless, not being able to do anything, not being able to explain or convince anyone to see it your way. And not being met with understanding. Underneath that, feeling incredibly painfully misunderstood. Leading to a sense of almost despair and hopelessness. This is quite a bit bigger. And leading, in fact, to quite a large pattern of depression. Okay, and that seems to be stored throughout the upper jaw and that palate and the musculature through it. And although I haven't spoken to this for quite some time, I'll mention it now as a bit of a reminder. Know that we're also working with it here and now as we go to the upper palate. That we have the four diaphragms that you've heard me speak to quite a number of times. And we also have three other things that act like diaphragms, the soles of the feet and the upper palate. And as I've been exploring this and researching this in clients, I've been noticing that sometimes there's actually a connection that's on the same side of the left foot to the left half of the palate and the right foot to the right half of the palate. So as we work with this, we're going to simultaneously link the diaphragms, the soles of the feet, up to the roof of the mouth to give it that sense of being able to be reminded, in essence, of what the expression and the, I'm going to use the word bounciness, has to offer in the palate, just like you can find it in the feet. So when you move, those feet bounce just a little bit, and there's a little bit of a give and a take and a flow through the feet. Even if you have all sorts of issues going on, plantar fascia, whatever that fancy word is, I can't think of it right now. Plantar fasciitis, there we go. And all of the other things that can go on with the feet. There's still a movement that happens. And as you work with it, that movement is reciprocally mirrored in that upper palate. And as we work with this, think of this as allowing the upper palate to actually get restored in its own bounciness and its capacity to fully express in a joyful way, while the feet themselves are also continuing to be able to walk and bounce and move. And as we get this mobility happening through the feet and through the upper jaw, or pardon me, the roof of the mouth, and kind of the upper jaw, we're supporting that release of all of those emotions that are hooked into that underpinning of depression, of sadness. And on the roof of the mouth, I just see the words. You're too insignificant to bother with. And we're releasing that belief system. And as it comes off of the roof of the mouth, I see the jaws open wide, and I see like a lioness roaring back in response, as if to say, oh yeah, hear this. Take that. Here's what I really think. And here's how I'll be heard. And as that initial roar, that anger, that momentum begins to move through, opening up the pathway, it allows for all forms of expression to be there, not necessarily in anger, but in all the ways that anger moves and grooves through us to open up the highway for all of the other expressions of all the other emotions, including sadness itself. And often sadness gets mistaken for anger because we don't like feeling powerless in sadness, and sometimes we choose to just be ticked off about it instead because that feels powerful and we can do something about it, and there's the sense of something's moving at least, where sadness has a tendency to get quite still and contracted. So as we work with this, using that anger initially will also release any form of anger that's hidden within the depression. Okay, beautiful. And as we work with that, doing wave after wave of release, also of confusion, or essentially of lack of clarity. It's as if this whole area has forgotten how to actually move cleanly with its energy from the hearts all the way through the midline, out through the throat, the mouth. And as we work with this, going back 12 generations through dad's side of the family. And there was a lot of abuse, a lot of abuse around being silenced and not in, oh, just be quiet, watch your mouth, verbal types of ways, although that was in the mix. This is the severe abuse, and actually, really, the word might be torture. That went into hold your tongue, went into essentially women should be seen and not heard type of energy in very powerful physical abusive ways. I'm seeing a variety of things. I won't speak to them all. One of them I'm seeing is something that was fairly common in the 1600s, I believe, although my history is pretty dismal. So might have it's roughly around there though. And the 1600s, they had a device much like a chastity belt, but it was for the head and the tongue. And it would actually like go all the way around the face and the tongue. And it would clamp down, holding the woman's tongue still so she couldn't use it. And then commonly attached to a chain and hooked up like a dog on a leash to the outside of the home, or paraded through town, shopping, public places, in order to support that, well, humiliation. And as this is just one of many that I'm seeing, there's a quite a long landscape. And as it was interestingly enough connected into dad's lineage, there's this energy here of dad being like, no, that's not okay, but feeling like he had to participate in some of these things. And I'm speaking to all the men, 12 generations, and anything through there back, which actually disagreed with it, but went along with it just to fit in, to attempt to actually like lighten the load a little bit. So it's like, well, I'll do it, but I won't make it quite so tight. I'll do it, but as soon as there's no one else looking, I'll let them go. I'll do it, but trying to figure out that way, which actually led to more confusion. It's like, well, what are you doing here? Whose side are you on? And all of that confusion around trying, attempting to lessen the torture, also just made the masculine feel impotent and weak over the generations. And this own body mind here within you, there's this sense of your own inner masculine feeling impotent or weak to make a dent in all of that abuse and torture that he knowingly allowed the feminine energy to suffer through. And then the feminine is harboring tremendous confusion and a lot of other emotions here too about that all. That's all contained in the space between heart, throat, mouth, upper jaw, upper palate. Okay, and as we work with the inner masculine and inner feminine energies that are hanging on to all of this in your body mind, not surprisingly, there's a fair amount of, to put it politely, discontentment between the two. We actually have to do quite a few things here. We're going to link pineal and pituitary, the strongest masculine feminine balancing we have in all of body talk. We're going to work with pancreas reflex point, which is about a hands width, let me do this cleaner, hands width down from the left edge of your armpit there. I'm not sure if that's clearer. There you go. And then poking around that baby finger. To also balance left and right, and anytime we balance left and right, so you can think of that as balancing masculine and feminine. And we're We're also linking in all of the yin chakras, those above the heart. It's all of the yang chakra, meridian, pardon me, all of the yang chakras, those below the heart, which is how Body Talk approaches it. And there's likely a few other ideas out there about the chakras that you've likely heard. And we're also balancing it all by linking it through to the heart, which carries both yin and yang energy. And then we're linking all things heart down through to the navel. And as we do that, connecting your inner masculine through that navel, your inner feminine through that navel, and connecting them in what it means to actually individually and alike simultaneously be held in the energy of love and of harmony. And as there's this energy being held, I actually see both yin and yang channel meridians weave around them with their chi, their vitality, supporting us all. And letting this energy come together into a union that's slowly merging as the healing of all those hidden griefs, hurts, challenges, losses alike are beginning to weave together again. And then I hear the masculine stand up and go, I am not impotent. And I see the feminine stand up, I will be heard. And as these two energies, I am not impotent, and I will be heard, begin to grow, the energy of the yin and the yang, Chao Mo Meridian, begins to merge together, creating, well, if one was red and one was blue, creating purple. They're seamlessly merging together to act as one in union. Not even knowing where one ends and one begins. The difference is irrelevance. Then we're linking that all through to house 8, house of death, rebirth, and regeneration. As we land in house 8, bringing in the natural planetary energy here of Pluto. And Pluto connecting into now the essence of what it means to be connected into the collective power. And as we plug into the collective power, this is going beyond really time itself, beyond space itself, into the power of all the collections of all where we came from, whatever your word from that may be, the universe, the divine, God, spirits, and all its other forms, however it may show up as your beloved for you. Linking that through to house 12. And this is often referred to, as you've heard me say, the house of endings, the house of releasing, the house of letting go. But we're more so working with the house of helping all of that awareness to peel back the layers of who it is you're not, so you can more easily rest and nestle into the support of the eternal, whatever, again, your word for that may be. And we're tapping here, so invitation to breathe and receive however feels right. Okay, love. Just giving that another slow, deep breath, maybe two. And I'm just hearing the words, I come in peace. And I actually see your soul walking towards you in that like hands up position, that posture that shows that there's nothing in there to harm anyone with. I come in peace. And the energy of the soul I see just get a bit brighter, lighter, bigger, expansive. And I see it link into the Yang Chao Mo meridian, offering its energy of peacefulness through to those things that keep you up at night, those things that trouble your heart, your mind, that rumble through the system that haven't been resolved yet. And as we work with it in this way, linking it through to the Yang Chao Mo meridian, as the soul continues to offer it even more peace and allowing for any of those layers, especially through bladder one, that's an influential point in that meridian, to release anything that is no longer serving seeing the present moment with clarity. I see it releasing overexcitement, but specifically in the type that creates unnecessary anxiety. What if you got to just simply stand in simple joy around the things that you simply enjoy without having to make a big to-do, ta-da, over it all? How simply could we receive that joy without the need to have fear making an entrance to support, well, we should do this and we could do that and here's how we can handle this and we should invite people and we can make a big event out of this all. Or these aren't the right circumstances. I need my favorite mug with my favorite tea and my favorite snack in order to take in this joyful moment. Oh, this just isn't right. And all the other trappings that voice offers, that says something's not quite right in this moment, just as it is, that tendency of the pattern of the mind to be discontent, to always look to improve. What if you're not an endless self-improvement project? What if you actually would be best served by taking a beat, taking a day, just to spend living life, not needing to even sneakily think about, oh, I better pay attention to this. Where's the moon today? How am I breathing right now? How am I holding my body right now? Have I tapped out my cortices today? And all the other things that riffle through the mind as it does. And as we work with this, I see the Yang Chao Mo meridian actually releasing its pattern of having to overthink and overanalyze. I actually see it releasing the pressure to quote-unquote get it right, figure it out as quickly as you can and get it right. As it lays that down, so too does it simultaneously just naturally falls off with it, judgments. The need to judge, period. The need to be judged is also the flip side of that coin. It also gets laid down too. Whatever layers of that are ready to go, as we lay those down, there may even be a sound that comes with that through your system. So I invite you just to check and see. Maybe there's a noise, a sound, woo, ah, om, or anything else. And maybe it's a word that comes through. I'm going to invite you to make a little sound as you can even imagine, like physically laying that down. And then we're going to link that through to the essence of acceptance in the four points in the back of the skull, along with compassion in the centers, just above the heart on either side of the chest, in roughly the center of those sides of the chest, as well as through to the diaphragms of the feet. Inviting in what it means to restore playful movement, like little ones dance on the earth with their feet when they're playing. Restoring that same dance of play in your feet without having to be small again, you get to tap into that inner wisdom of wonder that little ones carry so vibrantly, richly in their souls and their beings. And as that releases through, simultaneously circulating all of those same healing resources that I've mentioned through to the liver on the right side of our bodies there. I see the liver as being almost like a holding area for, again, that jaw and that hip. And there's this sense of like overt sternness. Like, don't you be enjoying yourself there now. And even though the liver is very yin, it's coming out in a very yang voice for whatever reason. It's got the energy of be prepared for something bad to happen. And that excessive caution that's here. Creating a dampening of joy, creating a tinge of fear on joy itself, a sourness, if you will, gets to release through the sinusoids, the cells of the liver here. And as that releases through the cells of the liver, helping to detoxify in essence. And it's also detoxifying the belief system that anger is best hung on to prevent pain. Anger should be suppressed to prevent pain is also here. And as we release that confusion around anger, I actually see the confusion between all things hearts and throats and mouth that we were working with earlier through to that upper palate also releases. As one sets down, so too does the other. And then I see both hips linking to both shoulders, working with what I consider to be the major transition points between your centers of being and your centers of doing, legs and arms and head. And as we link shoulders and hips together, we're actually now linking it all through to the thoracic inlet diaphragm. Also working with that center of being and doing. And as these come together in a new way of being, a new way of working together, linking it all into house 12 to again peel back the layers of who it is you are not, to firmly again allow yourself to surrender to that which is greater than the sum of all of the beliefs, experiences that you faced in this lifetime, whatever you were word you give to that which is eternal. As we soften into the arms of Creator, allowing for that creative energy to merge with us, to come through your sexual chakra. You can imagine that the sexual chakra breathes and is alive on every breath, infused by the energy of Creator itself. That energy begins to create, begins to bring to life new possibilities, new ideas, new ventures, new opportunities. And I see that newness. Almost like a mushroom mycelium network that connects all the fungi on our planet. To and it's all well, some of it's above. Well, the mycelium itself is underneath the surface of the dirt. And as it works in this sort of underground network type fashion, I see the creative energy in that same way begin to crawl through the nerves underground. And going into, interestingly enough, as it moves through the legs, moving into from the nerves to the bones, going into the very deep caverns of what we might consider to be the underground nature of the body mind, where the deepest underpinnings of our ancestral inheritance lies. Connecting into also what the bones store, bone marrow, and what they create, I should say, bone marrow itself, which is thought to be almost akin to a form of lymph. So we can think of the bone marrow and lymph for in this moment as being somewhat synonymous and helping to also flush out what no longer needs to be here through the family line, through what you've inherited in this body mind. And then I see it just like it went downward through the legs from the sexual chakra. I see it begin to rise up through the spine. And then from there out to the rest of the bones in the upper body. Well, I should say the nerves, and then into the bones from the nerves, much in the same way that we worked with down below. The same thing happens above. And as it enters the bones here, I see this energy of what's been holding you back release. It's almost like little shackles, arm cuffs, handcuffs, ankle cuffs, waist cuffs, all the ways in which we've, well, been seen or thought to have been seen as struggling, limiting, perhaps even doing this to ourselves. Releasing through the spine, through the intervertebral discs, through the bodies of each vertebrae, all the way through to the very top C1, and where it joins onto the skull, that OA joint, connected very strongly to the jaw joint. No surprise that we started there earlier. And here we're bringing in the essence of the feminine. Specifically, the form of the femme fatale, the sexy woman, and all that she finds sensual as well is included here. As we bring in your blueprints for this sexual, sensual energy alike, arising all the way through this where the skull joins the spine. Running the permissions, just finding the words, but the essence is that this sense of sexuality, of sensuality alike, comes from God, universe, spirit, creator, that which is eternal. And the words here are relatively simple. The words here are simply, I am alive. I am alive. Yeah, maybe you're vibrantly alive. Maybe you're alive and well. You can add on to that a little if you like. But the essence of it is simply aliveness. And what it means to be willing to dance in the flow of life again, even knowing that there's going to be hurts and pains and challenges, even knowing that there might be times where things actually go really well, might be successful, as scary as that may be, or as joyful as it may be. Wherever you are on that spectrum, honoring it all and allowing yourself to, willingly, openly, consciously enter the play of life again, much with those same little kid feet that we found earlier. What is it to play and dance here? All the way through from feet to the roof of the mouth, all the way through to where the skull joins the spine, and all the way through from there to the very crown. The diaphragm that rests here, the crown chakra that's here, the portion of the liver meridian that runs here protectively. And as we bring new energy, new dance through to this very crown, linking it to that time in which you were going through the birth canal. And you had to make it through the cervix. Oh, and that ring of fire, as moms often refer to it as, gets experienced by babes too, in a way that's often connected to the sense of, I honestly don't know if I'm going to live or die. As I go through here, I'm going through something that's doing this to my head. Huh. Okay, all right, let's see what happens here. You can imagine the courage, the adventurousness, the resourced playfulness one might have as a you might need to have to make your way through that process. And as we connect you back to that time of life in which you were richly resourced to face, one could argue, one of the most arduous, interesting, informative, playful alike moments of life, there is this understanding that that actually doesn't go anywhere, that that's still all right here. It just might have been covered up a little bit through all the various shock that may not have been digested very cleanly on the other side of the process. It might not have had enough space to actually release that, which led to the sense of all the senses being coated with more fear than needed to be here. So as we work with that, connection to all those resources, releasing on the other side those tendencies to live small because of that shock, that undigested sense of that was hard, and then we didn't get a chance to rest afterwards, and now we just have to keep going. And it's as if we're stuck in just a very low level, but chronic, long, lifetime, long-standing pattern of hyperarousal or excess activation in the system. And that can show up in the form of having sympathetic dominance, having depression, having all sorts of trauma, fear responses. And we could honestly talk about this for, well, many hours. I'm going to digress here. And as we work with that, I actually see it as also tying into this all, releasing low self-esteem, low self-worth, low self-value. That led to the need to leave self, to go look out there, to find esteem, find value. So it's come in a way full circle to some of the material that we were working with earlier. And as we work with this, running a cellular repair on the nervous system shock. That created a sense of disorientation. And even may have carried the information of, I shouldn't be here. I don't want to be here. If that's what life is like, I don't want to do this anymore. Oh, I have to still be here? Okay, I'll figure out a way to make my way through all this pain and suffering. And carrying around the chronic, long-standing shell of pain and suffering, which has just continued to attract more of the same. And to whatever extent that's ready to go, we get to lay that down. And then we're linking that into the Yin Chow Mo Meridian. Ah, beautiful. Grounding here and providing a sense of I trust myself again. Connecting us to our sense of self, our sexual identity, our healthy relationships that are here in this body mind, as well as our capacity to stand within ourselves, which doesn't negate the need to ask for help, but just the capacity to get to actually be within ourselves and ask for help and receive it without having to leave yourself to go get it. And then we're releasing all of that as well through the kidney meridian, through the kidney organs alike, for which we're going to also run hydration, helping the cells here to take in that water, that joy, and release any impurities that don't need to be here. And we're bringing in easy water, which Gerald Polack is the YouTuber guy to, well, he's not a YouTuber, but he has videos on YouTube. He's a scientist. Who goes into the fourth phase of water? It has a specific crystalline structure that repels toxicity to it. Okay, beautiful. And with that, we're linking it through to the midline for that energy again in trust, self-trust, trust of the divine alike. And we're tapping here. Invitation to again breathe and receive, however feels right for you. Beautiful. And as we bring this in for a nice soft landing, I'm recognizing I'm a few minutes over the hour. Thank you for your patience. And I thank you so much for being here and all that you bring to the table. Thank you. I've got a short song. It's 2 minutes. It's called Hado by, I'm not going to say the name very well, Amina Alouai, Alaoui, and it's from the album Arco, Arco, Iris, Iris, Iris. The song is Hado, Hado. Thank you again with all my heart and soul for all that you bring. I wish you a most wonderful day as you move into the rest of it and your week ahead. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. And a reminder that I'll see you in 2 weeks. So we have next week off. And so that means our next one after that will be Wednesday, March 22nd. And a reminder again, just to check on our daylight savings times, depending upon where you are in the world. You're most welcome. I'm so glad that you got what you needed from that. And I wish you all a beautiful rest of your day and your weeks, since we'll be reconvening in 2 weeks' time. Bye for now, loves.